B'siyata d'shmaya, simin kuf chaf sif zayin, sif ches, what we have been up to was a fascinating shaila that we discussed through the perspective of the Rishonim, and now we have to see how it comes out to halacha l'maisa, and it has a lot of applications l'maisa. But to really jump in properly, let's remind ourselves what we had seen in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim. The Mechaber says, Hashoel of socher kli me'akum, someone who borrows or rents a utensil from a goy, ain't a ton tvila. So it's obvious that it doesn't need tvila. It's only someone who buys. Now here's the interesting part. Avo Yisrael kano me'akum, v'yishilo lechaverov. But if a Jew buys it from a goy and then lends it to somebody else, ton tvila. Shekvar nischayiv biyata rishon, there's a requirement of tvila because the Jew who bought it from the goy was chayiv in tvila. V'yesh mishomer, but then the mechaber has an interesting kula. Shim lo lachro rishon tzarech su'uda elachtoch klafim, but if he bought it only to cut paper, he didn't buy it to use as a kli ruvein from the goy, then if he gives it to Shimon, even if Shimon's going to use it as a kli su'uda, ain't sarich klat bilay, then in such a case, there isn't a requirement of tevila. This is the position of many Rishonim, including the Hagos Hashri. We mentioned that the Isser Veheter disagrees, although the Poskim, the Shulchan Aruch, let's start with, does not paskin this way. And the Isser Veheter holds, even though Ruvain, when he bought it to cut paper, but since Ruvain can't use it for eating, so too, Shimon cannot use it for eating as well. And we discussed that that's a fascinating machlokas, and the Shach himself paskins that we should be choshesh for the Isser V'Heter. Take a look at Tezayin. The Shach says, V'nira diyesh atbilo b'loy bracha, o yitbal kli acher imo. We saw that the Chachmas Adam on this Shaila gave a split psak. The Chachmas Adam said that if we're talking about Kalim der chayiv min haTorah like mateches, so then in such a case you should be choshesh for the Shach and do tefillah without a bracha. While if we're talking about zechuches, which is only the Rabbanan, so then in such a case you could be mekel. The Ramah seems to be in consonance with the psak of the Mechaber, because the Ramah goes on, Aval arishon asul ishtamish bo letzarche suda. The first guy can't use letzarche suda, afilu derech haray below tevillah, afal pi shalachu letzarech klofen. If a Jew buys it from another Jew, so then in such a case, it is going to be chayiv in tefillah if he wants to use it for food. But if the Jew didn't buy it, he just borrowed it, so then in such a case, we had lenient opinions. The Aruch HaShulchan, interestingly, is more makel than the Shach and the Taz. He's not even worried about the Isser V'Heter. This is where we had left off last time, that the Aruch HaShulchan, I'll read you the psak of the Aruch HaShulchan inside, the Chein HaMinik Pashuk, Bechol Tfutzos Yisrael, Shesludos Gedolos Lochin Kli Zuchuchesu Kli Barzel. Notice he says, not only glass utensils, but Kli Barzel, Bekapos, Ubazlegos, he says, even silverware, v'sakinim, b'michir ma'at, b'derech she'ela, v'achar kach machzirin l'chen vanim. So people rent out utensils. So that was our wedding last night that Rabbi Yamin and I were at. Baruch Hashem, it was probably from someone who was Jewish who had done tefilas kelim. But in such a case, if someone rented out from someone else, v'lo shemanu me'olam, she'at bilu osam, and we don't find anybody being makbid on it. Avol be'emes ein kam pikbuk klal lamrot sheyesh mefakpikim bezeh. Even though there is somewhere machmir based on the Isser V'Heter and the Shach, he says no. Techenu ikur ledina. And this is the ikur psak. Okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan says that this is the ikur psak. This gets us to a fascinating halacha lemaisa question, and that is in terms of hotels. You're a religious hotel owner. You're medagdik b'mitzvahs. Do you have to make sure that there is tefilas kelim on all of your utensils? So Chaim pointed out at the end of the last year that if you're going to rely on this heter, if you're a hotel owner, then that means you yourself are not going to be able to eat from the food. In other words, you're not going to be able to use those utensils. That's true. Because for you yourself, we saw in the Ramah that even Derech Arai is not going to be acceptable. But if you paskin straight up, like the Mechaber and the Ramah, as long as you have your own set of Kalim utensils, then that's going to be okay. Why? Because Binyamin, Yoel, and Chaim that are coming to the hotel, you're not chayiv in it because you're just someone who's borrowing it from a chenvani. So if you're borrowing it from a chenvani, so then that's going to be enough. Rav Nevin Sal Shlita told me that par the Isser Veheter, he felt that the pashtus of the sugya is definitely like the Mechaber and the Ramah, and therefore he thought that the psak of the Aruch HaShulchan has much basis. However, there are the Mahadrin Kashrus does not rely on this position. They do not follow the Shita, and they tell hotel establishments that they should do Tfilas Kalim and not rely on this Heter. The Rabbanut, however, does. So the Rabbanut does rely on this, and it is the pashtus of the halacha that one could rely, except for the hotel owner himself. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, both of them seemed not to rely on this heter, not because that Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed with his Talmud Rav Nevinzal, but because they had another concern. And that is that pashut that you consider these utensils as l'schora. In other words, this is my understanding of Reb Shlomo Zalman, I must add. This is my understanding. Is it pashut that you look at this as l'schora? There's room to argue that this is not really l'schora. This is not considered l'schora. Why is it not considered l'schora? Because l'schora only means that you mamish use it for you're holding it to sell to somebody else. But here, the hotel owner bought it to serve food. So you call that l'schora? Is that really called l'schora? When we're talking about l'klafim, that I understand, that if the hotel owner buys it to cut paper, and then someone else decides to use in their room, to use it as a sack, and that I understand. But to extend this to schora, that itself is quite a chiddush. So that is a limitation in this psak. Although we saw the Aruch HaShulchan went that far, so that is this limitation. Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadikim Levracha, had two different heterim that are also very relevant that could be used. And that is as follows. Rav Moshe, I want to read you the tshuva. In Chelek Gimel, Simen Chaf Beis. Let me see. I have two Svarim of Rav Moshe from here. Oh, I had two. There are two tshuvas I want to discuss today, and I have the other one on the shelf. So I'm going to come back in a second with Rav Moshe's tshuva. One second. Okay, here it is. So Ramayshin Yardeya Chelek Gimel Simin Chaf Beis writes as follows: Va'ochel b'malon hotel o b'misada o kedoma she'ein tovlin klehem v'nasnu lefanav chatichas basar o kedoma al gabe kli matachos azchuches ve'ein on tzrichos le'etzam akli. Ramayshin says, do you really need that kli? Do you need a plate? So, of course, it's not becoming to eat without a plate. But would you, let's say the waiter put down the piece of meat directly on the table. So what you need are silverware. But you really don't need the plate. So then in such a case, says Rav Moshe, then you'll be allowed to eat the food. Why? He says, because We know when it comes to Tfilas Kelim that if you put food on a kli that's not mutbal, the food does not become osur. If you take a look all the way in the end of Simin Kuf Chaf, the halacha is that if a kli that it's mamish the last lines in the Ramah, im aver v'shtamish b'kli b'lo tfila, lo nesa mashin v'shtamish bo. So the food doesn't become osur. So Ramesha says the only issue that's at play is whether you have a chiyuv of tefila. The only time you have a chiyuv of tefila is when those food is that food, that utensil is absolutely necessary. But if it's not necessary, so then in such a case, it would be acceptable. So that might also apply in different ways when it comes to soup. So when it comes to soup, there clearly you would need the utensils. You can't put soup on top of the table. But a steak you could. And if you're talking about food that could just as well also be eaten with one's hands, let's say a Frankfurter, so then in such a case, it could very well be that you'd even, according to Ramosha, you'd even be allowed to use the silverware, because the silverware is not absolutely necessary. Any food that's not necessary, then in such a case, that would be okay. So it sounds like for Ramosha, you could even use the silverware. His example of something that is impossible is marak umacholim lachim, soup and liquidy foods. But everything else, Ramesha seems to say, is okay. And then in such an instance, if we're talking about a steak, then in theory he could have eaten with his hands. It's unbecoming, but in such a case, Ramesha would say that's acceptable. So that's what Ramesha's heter is for those places that a person knows that they didn't do tfilas kelim. That would be the way to go. Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal had a different approach. And this approach we're going to see in other contexts as well today. A very fascinating mahalach. And this is the mahalach that Rav Nevinzal goes with. Rav Shlomo Zalman, it appears, in Madura Tinyana Simin Samach Vav. Rav Shlomo Zalman suggested the following yisod. He starts with the same starting point that Ramosha started with. Starting point being that when it comes to tefilas kelim, or the lack of, does not make the food aser, if you didn't do tefilas kelim. That's the starting point. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said as follows. We see that the chiyuv is a chiyuv on the gavra to do tefila before he uses utensil. It's a chiyuv on the gavra. You have a chiyuv. If you want to use this utensil, you have a chiyuv. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman. But what happens if there's no way for you to do it? There's no way for you to be able to do tvila. So then in such a case, you're an ones. And if you're an ones, so then if it makes the food asr, so the food is asr, you're stuck. But over here, we said the food doesn't become asr. So he says as follows, he says, then you're going to be home free. V'im kein kol ze kishiyachol atbilo. Avo b'malonu kedoma shelo yitnu lo lakachat ulatbilo. The hotel is not going to let you take out its dishes to do tefila. Kivan derotze lechov lishdos shari lei. In such a case, it's going to be mutter. So that is Rav Shlomo Zalman's heter. Rav Nevinzal, also in, of all places, in Hilchos Shabbos. Yes.
How does cereal fit into this? Like, it is a liquidy kind of thing.
I think cereal would be a problem. Cereal would be a problem. I think most people eat their cereal with milk, and therefore you couldn't put it down. Now, it happens to be one of my children, has, when they were little, didn't like milk. So they ate cereal dry. Now that child likes milk, but that child eats dry cereal with a cup of milk. So that would be a nafkamina. The question would be whether you say batel daitam. So they eat dry cereal. So if we're talking about, so then dry cereal in theory you could put onto, but I would say, you know, probably batel daitam etzel kol adam. That would be an interesting question. What's that?
The milk being cold doesn't make a difference.
Not really,
right?
They would have the problem of drinking the milk, right? The fact that it's cold would not make a difference. As far as this person, so then they wouldn't be able to drink the milk, because milk you can't place directly on the table.
Exactly.
but they would be able to eat the cereal unless you say batel daita meitzel kol adam. Rav Nevin Sal Shlita in his Mishneh Berurah in Simen Shin Chav Gimel Sif Zayin has a couple of lines. Number one, kli plastic. We're not discussing different materials that are chayiv and tefillah, but since it's in the Sa'ara, Hora Admar Zal Shein Tzarech Lahatpil, this is the custom that we follow, that plastic does not require tefillah's kelim. HaMesareach B'mokum She'efshe Lo Litbal Kelim. If a person's in a place where he can't do tefillah's kelim, Rashoy Lecho B'em Gam B'lo Tefillah, Masha'en Kein Baal HaKelim. The Baal HaKelim can't. This here is where Chaim was mechaving to Rav Nevinsal. The hotel owner is going to be stuck. Kain Horu Admar Zal v'Chazanish, and both Chazanish and Reb Shlomo Zalman paskind this way. The point of the Chazanish is that Reb Chaim Kanievsky quoted that the Chazanish did not like the heter of the Aruch HaShulchan. We started off with the heter of the Aruch HaShulchan. You can't use the heter of the Aruch HaShulchan according to Reb Shlomo Zalman and the Chazanish, but you can use this idea that you're an Oneh. So we basically have three, this is a beautiful way to crunch it, we have three possible heterim when we're talking about someone who is in a hotel. Number one, you could go with the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan that says, obviously when I say you could go, that means a posek will decide whether you could go with the Aruch HaShulchan, and that is that we consider this no different than Klei Schora. We consider it no different than the case of a Jew who bought Leklafim and another Jew is using it to eat. And therefore, there's no requirement to Tefillah Skelim. Or you say, no. We say, this is different. It's considered Klei Ochel. It's as if the hotel owner bought Klei Ochel. But you're an Ones. And if you're really an Ones, then in such a case, you're going to be Potter. And that's an amazing heter. Because Rav Nevinsal, I believe, uses this heter also in case of going to family members who haven't done Tefillas Kelim. You're invited, and they put down the food. Now, it's one thing if you have a choice of two people to stay by for a month. So that's an interesting question that you'd need to ask Eitza what to do in such a case. But if you're invited over, and your in-laws are going somewhere, and you're not sure if these people do Tefillas Kelim, but you have to go, you're Mamish and Ones, you can't take the Kelim now and do it, and be Tovel. So then in such a case, then you have Reb Shlomo Zalman's approach. Or you have Reb Moshe's approach, which is actually more limiting, Reb Moshe's approach, who says that only the foods that don't really need utensils, but if you could, in theory, eat them without the utensils, then that's going to be fine. Okay, a very important topic, a very lemaisa topic, tam v'nishlam. We're ready to go on to the Gemara and daf ayin hei mebeis and sif test, the sugya of mashkin. Sugya of mashkin is a beautiful sugya. Let's start with the Gemara. Let's go through the sugya. A little bit less lemaisa, but a beautiful sugya nevertheless. The Gemara ayin hei mebeis has the following question. Iboilhu, mashkanta mai. What if the goy gives you a mashkon? In other words, we're talking about a Jewish moneylender, and the goy gives him collateral. What's the collateral he gives him? He gives him dishes. He gives him dishes as collateral. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says that a story. Amar mar bar vashi, abba mashkin le'akum, kosa de kaspa v'tvili v'ishti be. My father received a mashkon, but he did tefillah before he used it. V'lo yadana, and I don't know, says Mar Baravashi, imishum de kasar mashkanta kizvini damya. Is it because he assumes that a mashkon is as if it was sold? In other words, it's considered as if it's halokeach Yisrael me'akum. O imishum de chazi la'akum de daiti l'shake. Or it's because it was clear to my father that the guy had no intention of paying back, and then in the end, my father was going to get the cup, and the guy was not going to pay him back. So then, if it's obvious, then it's considered as if it's halokeach. It's as if he bought it from him. So that's the shaila of the Gemara. Now, the Gemara brings off as a baya delo of shita. So the Gemara points out already, before we're going to even look in the Shulchan Aruch, that this is going to get at the core of how we look at Tefillas Kelim. The Rambam writes that Tefillas Kelim is derabbanan. Many Rishonim all that Tefillas Kelim is d'oraisa. So that's a fascinating question. Tefillas Kelim d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? So here, how we're going to paskin might be dependent on Tfilas Kayam Doraisa Derabban. If you hold it's Doraisa, so then we had a suffix in the Gemara of a Mashkin, you would have to be Machmir. If it's Derabban, then you could be Mekel. So let's take a look how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Mashkan Ove Kochavim Klili Yisrael. Im Nira Bedasa Akum Shirotz L'Shaka Biyado. If it's clear that the guy had no intention of paying back and the Mashkin would stay by the Jew forever, Ton Tvila, then needs Tvila, the post can point out Tvila with the Bracha. Vim Lav, but if not, it's not clear, yet Bilenu below Bracha. O Yikne Kliacher, yet Bilenu Imo. So then you do Tvila without a Bracha, or even better is if you have another Kli that needs Tvila with a Bracha, you would do that. Points out the Gra, Sif Chav Gimel, that this, and this is going to be the Gra L'Shitaso, that the Gra understands that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Tfilas Kelim is Doraisa. Because we're Machmir in the case of the Safek. We said that if you have a Mashkan, we said that's a Safek, and here we paskin that it requires Tvila with a Bracha. So says the Gra, Sfeikel Chumra. The Rambam Pasak Dein Tvila Tvila. Ah, but the Rambam in this case says you don't need Tvila. Says the Gra, Ashir. He says that Kishitaso, the Rambam is Lishitaso, Shekasa Tfilas Kalim Divrei Sofrim, because the Rambam passing the Tfilas Kalim is only Divrei Sofrim, the Gra is Asmachta Ba'alma. So the Gra is pointing out that he thinks that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that Tfilas Kalim is Doraisa, hence we're going to be Machmir. Okay, so this is the Sugya with the Psak. Of the Shulchan Aruch. There is a difficult shach over here. There's not often that we have very difficult shachs, but this shach, we're going to leave off with a Tzarech Iyun, and how often is it that we mamish paskin against a shach? But here we go. This is going to be an example. Says the shach in Sivkot and Yutes, Vim Lav, Klomar, She'ene yodeya im das ha'akon l'shoko olo, Avom yodeya bebirur she'en das ha'akon l'shoko pshita de'en tzarech tvila. So the shach says that the suffix over here is that we're not sure if the guy intended to leave it by the Jew. But if the guy, we know for sure, did not intend it to leave it by the Jew, in other words, he intended to pay back and get back his mashkon, so then in such a case, it doesn't need tvila. So all of the posts can point out, there's a nice summary of this in Reb Binyamin Cohen Sefer, Chelkas Binyamin, all the posts can point out that this shach is extremely difficult. And that is that the Gemara that we read doesn't say that. The Gemara that we read says that if the guy gives a mashkon, if he knew for sure, the Jew knows that the guy meant to leave it by him, then he's going to be chayiv in Tvilas Kalim. And if not, we have a suffix whether a mashkon is considered like a sale in Hilchos Tvilas Kalim. Mashma, that even if we know for sure that the guy intended to pay back, and he intended to get it in return. Nevertheless, the halacha would be that he's going to be chayiv in Tfilas Kalim b'Torah Safek. But the shach said not that way. The shach said that if we know that the guy intends to give it back, so then in such a case, for sure, you're not going to be chayiv in Tfilas Kalim. These cases don't happen too much today, but one should be aware that this shach is difficult. Sarachiyun Gadol, I did not see a good yishuv for to defend. Chaim, maybe you could help out over here. This is a chura. The Gemara is mefureshes against the shach. So this is one of the cases that, as far as I know, we don't paskin like this shach. Tov, it's interesting. Normally the shach usually pushes away and boom, and he has all the Gemaras on his side. In this case, the Gemara is not that mashna that way. Okay, let's go on to Sif Yud. Yisrael shenasan kesef l'uman. A Jew who gives silver to a uman ove kochavim. Lasos lo mimenu kli. He gives silver to an apprentice that's a Gentile to make for him a utensil. Eino tzarech tvila. In such a case, there isn't a chiyuv of tvila. So here we have Jewish-owned silver being given over to a Gentile to make a kli. So the halacha is, there isn't a requirement of tefillah. Why? Because it's not a case of where you bought from the guy. All the guy did was fashion the silver. So some Rishonim come along and say, wait a second, this is talui in a very big sugya. And this is the sugya in Perek Meruba of Uman Kone B'Shvach Kli. When you give a artisan your silver to make into a utensil. So what happens? Do you say that it's a fascinating question? Two ways to look at it. Do you say that you gave him your silver, you asked him to do a job, and he does his service, and he gives it back to you? Or do you say that you're maknit him the kesef, the silver becomes his, and you're making a deal that he's going to sell it back to you after he makes it better? In other words, is there a kinyan that the uman makes when he gets the utensil? So the mechaber is paskening according to the man d'amar, uman eina kona b'shvach kli. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says, V'yesh cholkim, that there are those who disagree, and they hold that uman is kona b'shvach kli. That's the machlokas. So we have a machlokas. What comes out, therefore, concludes the Ramah, V'yesh atov lo b'lo bracha. So here would be a split psak, depending on whether you're Ashkenazi or Sfaradi. So for Sfaradim, if you gave it to a goy, then in such a case, it's not going to be a problem. However, for Ashkenazim, they would have to do tvila without a bracha. V'miktsas hakesef shenasimen ha'kli shel akum tzarech tvila. And if part of the silver belonged to the goy, and the goy gave you some of his silver, then for sure you need to make a bracha. In the other direction as well, v'chein uman Yisrael sha'asa kli l'akum. What happens if a Jew made a silver vessel for a Gentile, v'konam imenu, and he bought it from Yatulenu gam came below bracha. So then he also has a suffix of whether there's a bracha. Maybe uman kona b'shvach kli, and therefore he's not chayav bracha. Or like most shitas who hold that uman lav kona b'shvach kli, and therefore he doesn't make a bracha. Ima akum, and therefore in this case, if he fashions the silver utensil of a goy and then buys it for him, from him, so then it will be a suffix brachos. He would have to do tefillah, but without a bracha. Ima akum nosan kol matachos. If the guy gave him all the silver, avol masal la'atzmo rak shekona matachos mina akum. But what if the Jew makes it for himself, but just bought the silver from the guy? Oshen nosan mixes matachos mishalo ein tzarech tefillah. If the Jew is making the thing for himself and he just bought the silver from the guy, then he made the kli, and then in such a case it's pashut that there would be no requirement of tefillas kelim. Okay, this halacha is extremely straightforward. However, we have a fascinating halacha lemaisa application to this. Baruch ato Adonai Elohim Melech Haolam shehakol nieh bedvarai. The fascinating application of to this question is the following phenomenon. I'll introduce the phenomenon with the shayla I got before Pesach. Someone told me that he bought a kumkum, a water urn, and that water urn had a hashgacha. This is a shayla that will be shayach to Binyamin and not to Yoel and Chaim, based on where you are right now. But someone in Ramat Beit Shemesh, they bought a kumkum. The kumkum was from China. It was from China, and it was clearly from a Gentile company. But it came along with a hashgacha, and the hashgacha says that you don't need to do tefillah on this. So the guy said to me, the fellow asked me, is that true? I don't need to do tefillah. I said, I can't understand the hashgacha. So he said, wait. He was looking around. He said, he got this whole long shtickle Torah. In the kumkum came along with the whole hesber. Why it doesn't need tefillah skelem? So it happens to be that if you could trust this hashgacha, there are ways that you can have things made in foreign countries where there's definitely only Gentiles, but nevertheless not be required in Tvilas Kelim. And the reason for that is because of the following svara advanced by Ramesha in Orechayim Chelek Gimel Siv Dalid. Ramesha is writing to somebody about Hilchos Tefillah, and in the end, Tefillah, prayer, and then in the end, he throws in something about Hilchos Tefillah. And he says the following, Ramesha says the following. Number one, if you have Kalim, that you have a suffix, whether it comes from a Goy or whether it's a Jew, so then he says, Ramesha says, you have a very basic rule of thumb. He says, if it comes from Israel, then it's probably from a Jew, and therefore you have to do Tefillas Kayim. If it comes from Europe or China, he says, even though there are some Jews in Europe, there are hardly any Jews in China, he says, most definitely, both of those are going to be chayiv in Tefillas Kayim. However, Rav Moshe goes on. He has the following Eitzah. He says, Va'afla matzrichin tvila benas Yisrael kesef nenachri, lasas lo kli midin uman konim b'shachli, lo shayach b'factory sheikra kli nasa idea machines, va'umnim harak misayim ba'asiyasan. Says Rav Moshe, what if you would have a case where the owners were Jewish, but the factory workers are Gentiles? And what did we just learn in our Simin, in our Si'if, Simin Kuf Chaf Sif Yud? We learned that the Ramaz Choshesh for Omen Konesh Vachli, that the worker becomes his. So then, says Rav Moshe, what would happen if you have, and this we have, in China, companies that are owned by Jews, but the workers are Goyim. So do you say, Umen Kone B'Shvach Kli? And in such a case, there'd be a chiyuv of Tvilas Kelim. Says Rav Moshe, we don't say today, Omen Kone B'Shvach Kli. He says, because nowadays, all the workers are doing are putting it into the machines. They're putting it into the machines. And therefore, they are not considered an uman that's fashioning the kli. They don't get the silver, own the silver, and then sell it back to somebody else. No, that's not what happens. What happens is they're just workers who are abetting the machines. And you're not going to say uman kon b'shvachli. And Yoser Mizer, Rav Moshe continues. Rav Moshe says, and these people who work in the factories are not an uman. An uman is a kablon. An uman is, if you send your shoes, once upon a time people used to do this, you send your shoes to the shoemaker, or you send your silver to the silver maker. That's an uman, a kablon, who's doing a particular job. These people are paid to work. These people are paid to work day by day by day. So then in such a case, you're not going to say, uman kona b'shvachli. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, if you're talking about a Jewish-owned factory, so then even though there are goyim who work there, there are two reasons that we have over here why you're not going to be chayiv in Tvilas Kelim. Number one is they're not even considered an uman in most of the factories. And number two, says Rav Moshe, that they're not a kablon, they're a skir yom, and then they're not considered an uman. What does this have to do with the kumkum in Ramat Beit Shemesh before Pesach? What we have is the following that companies in Israel have arranged. Companies in Israel have arranged a relationship with companies in China where the company transfers, the Chinese company transfers ownership for a certain amount of utensils that are made by those factories to the Jewish owner, to the Mashgiach. And this is very, very common. I think, correct me if I'm remembering incorrectly, Binyamin, I think there's a very common brand name called Gold over here in Israel. And basically what Gold is just an Israeli company that commissions things, is what I understand. I'm not making this statement out of research. But from what I understand, the company commissions a factory in China to make their utensils. So if the Mashgiach does it right, that actually works. I said to the guy, yeah, you don't have to do Tefillas Kelim. Because if you commission the company properly, so it's as if it's Jewish-owned, if it's Jewish-owned, the fact that all the work is done by Goyim is no problem of Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli, and if the contract was done in a halachically acceptable way, it's considered as if Gold, again, I'm not passing about Gold, I'm just giving it as an example, it's considered as if that company is the one who manufactured it, and that's why here in Israel, more and more of the utensils that are being bought are not even chayiv in Tefillas Kelim altogether. It's a fascinating application of this sif. Good, Rabbi Isai? Yeah, fascinating, huh? Okay. One more. Let's do a couple more sifim. Let's try to get through all the way up until sif yudalit. So let's do Yud Bezi and Gimel are very straightforward. Let's do Yud Aleph, which also is a fascinating discussion. Says the Mechaber, Yisrael Shemacher Kli La'akum. a Jew sold his utensil to a guy, v'chazer v'lachol mimenu. And then he buys it back. So then it's pashut, sarach tvila. Then such a case is a requirement of tvila. Avul mashkana biyadov. But what if the Jew left it as a mashkan by the guy? V'chazer upado mimenu. And then he goes and he redeems it. Einot sarach tvila. So then in such a case, there isn't going to be a requirement for tvila. Why? Because the Jew never gave it to him to have it by the guy. He never intended to be makne to the guy. He just was leaving it for him as a collateral, but he intended to pay back. What if the Jew didn't intend to pay back? So the Shach comments in Sif Chafei, Avul Mishkanu, Afilu ayadaitu l'shokol etza'akum, ain't sarach tvila. Even if he intended to leave it by the guy, so then in such a case, it doesn't require tefillah. It doesn't require tefillah. The question over here is why? Why would it be that even if he intends it to leave it by the guy, it doesn't require tefillah? Didn't we learn that the halacha was that if you have a case in where the guy left it by the Jew and intended to leave it there, so then in such a case, the Jew does need to do tefillah. Why? Because it's considered as if the guy sold it to the Jew. Over here, the Jew intended to leave it by the guy. So the answer seems to be as follows, that even though the Jew leaves it by the guy and he intends to leave it there, what he didn't intend to sell it to him. He didn't intend to sell it. That's not called a sale. And therefore, when he pays back his money, he's just being poda. And to be poda is not considered a lekicha. Okay, the Rama continues the following halacha. Yisrael v'akum shekanu kli b'shutfus, a Jew and a Gentile that acquired a utensil together as shutfim, as partners, ain't sarach tvila. The halacha is that there isn't a requirement of tvila. Here, what's the svara? The svara is that it never entirely belonged to the guy. When are you chayiv tvilas kalim? You're chayiv tvilas kalim if you bought it from a guy. But if you and a guy become partners on a kli, so then in such a case, it never was something you bought from a guy, and you're going to be pater from tvilas kalim. This case happens in businesses and so on and so forth. So then in such a case, if there's a partnership with a guy, it's not considered as if you bought from a guy. Yes, Binyamin?
What I understood is that the svara for this is that it's not fully the Jews, and that you can't, it still belongs, because I'm saying, theoretically, it belonged to the guy, to a guy originally, now me and another guy buy it. I thought that the reason was that it doesn't fully belong to the Jew, that you can't tovel something that's not yours.
Oh, so I'm about to get to what you're asking. I think I'm about to get to what you're asking. But in this case, the halacha is that if it's not in, the way I'm presenting it is, if it's not entirely yours, so then in such a case, if you didn't entirely buy it, then you're not going to be chayiv. So the question that you could ask is, but what about the 50% that's yours? Why aren't you chayiv for the 50% that's yours? So here, actually, this psak, if you take a look at the Gra Lamed Aleph, this psak that comes from the Ran is questioned by the Beis Meir. And the Beis Meir questions as follows. He says, wait a second. Is it really true that it never left a Goy's Rishus and went into a Jew's Rishus? Is that really true? Says the Beis Meir, but that's Tolui in a famous sugya called Breira. There's a sugya on Bava Kama Dafnun Aleph Amabez that discusses when you have a shutfus of a Jew and a guy, if you say Breira, that retroactively you say that one day it belonged to one partner and the other day it belonged to another partner, so then you should be chayiv to do tefilas kelim according to the mandam that says yesh breira. According to the mandam that says aim breira, that you can never clarify who it belonged to, so in Einachanami you're going to be potter. And then in such a case you could have the svara that the Jew never bought from a guy because it's always in a guy's rishus. But if you say breira, so then in such a case you should be chayiv. isn't essentially, Binyamin, that what you were saying was a sugya breira? That we don't say... Go ahead.
I saw this, just the way, I thought that the way that Rebbe formulated it, saying that it was never fully owned by a guy.
Fully owned by a Jew, you mean, right? You mean by a Jew?
I thought maybe Rebbe was being deliberate in that, but I guess... It's just right. The formulation that comes from the Mosei Kalim is that I think.
Go ahead.
That it was that the Jew that I can't tovel it because I don't own it. Like it's still owned by a guy. So if right, it's not that the guy, it's not that it was never owned by a guy. It's that it's never owned by a Jew.
Oh, I see. In other words, you're pointing out that I was emphasizing that it was never. Well, they bought it from a guy. They bought it from a guy. So now the question is, right, my formulation, if I said that they never got it from a guy, that's simply not true because they got it from a guy. So they're buying it from a guy. What's that?
What I thought Rebbe had said was that the reason you can't total it is that it had never gone from a guy because the guy doesn't own it. The guy's only a shittuf. But I guess I must have misheard.
It could be I misformulated. I think the way you said it is mefurish in the Gra. The way you said it is mefurish in the Gra. Take a look at the Gra. If you take a look at the Gra says in Lamed Aleph, She'eni yotze midei tumba betvila zu, da'adayin she'im akum alav. K'mosh kasev Yishalmi, she'atvila hu she'yotze mitumasoi shal goy l'kdusha shal Yisrael. So it has to have gone from a goy to a Yisrael. What I meant to say was that never went entirely the Bereshus Yisrael because it's gone into a Rishus that's combined between Jew and Yisrael, between Jew and Goy, excuse me. And therefore, the Beis Meir asks, but it does leave the Rishus of the Goy to the Rishus of a Jew because Breira says that one day it was Reuven's and one day it was the Goy's. Each day it switched off. If you hold like Breira. So why don't they mention that this is going to be Talui in the Sugya of Breira? Comes along Reb Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, and he answers the Beis Meir's Kasha and defends this Psak, which is the standard Psak, with the same Yisod that we used from him, Halacha Lamaisa, earlier. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, if you say that Tfilas Kalim is the Pshat, that once the Kli touches food, it makes the food Asur, then you're going to be stuck. Then, even if you're an ones, you're potter. But if you hold the pshat is in Tfilas Kalim, is that when you have an Isur Ishtamshus until you do Tfilas Kalim, that's only going to be when you're the owner. But if you're not the owner, you're not in charge, so then in such a case, you're an ones. And if you're an ones, you're going to be potter. That's Reb Shlomo Zalman's Yisod. He says, it's on the same page of the previous thing that I quoted from him before. The chiyuv is a chiyuv that's mutal in him. But here you're an ones because the tefillah is not going to work. You'll still be able to use this without tefillah. In other words, since you can't take it out from Rishus Goy to Rishus Yisrael, because it's always going to be Rishus Goy, so then in such a case, you're an Ones. If you're an Ones, then you're Potter from Tvilas Kalim. It's a beautiful Svara. So this Yisod Reb Shlomo Zalman, I think is, I don't know if it was said before him, but it's a seminal approach, because what Reb Shlomo Zalman is introducing is this idea that if you're an ones on Tfilas Kalim, you never were chayiv in the first place. That's his idea. If you're an ones on Tfilas Kalim, you're not chayiv in the first place. So here you're an ones. Here you're an ones. You can't do Tfilas Kalim because you can never take it out Birshus Akum to Birshus Yisrael. If so, you're not going to be chayiv at all. Misameach. Mamish Yisvar Misamechas. Okay, let's wrap up. Sifim Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Sarich lahatbil yidei akli. Some people are not aware of this. You have to be careful that the entire kli goes in the mikvah. That means that even the parts that don't come in contact with the food need to go inside. That's the mordechi. Yud gimel Sarech lahavir hachulada kodin tefila. You need to be sure to take off the rust prior to tefila. Vimlo hevir. And if you didn't take it off, imakbir alav chotzeitz. So then the halachas of chatzitza are the regular rules of chatzitza, and that depends if you're makbid. So this comes up in terms of stickers and so on. The raw din, of course, is that try to take off all stickers. When is a sticker ma'akev? It'll be ma'akev if you would be makbid on the sticker. So this makes a big nafgamina. If you're someone who's going to go into the business of selling pots and pans, I request for your fellow Jew to put the stickers on the back and don't put it on the inside. Why? Because if you put it on the back, so most people wouldn't be makbid on the sticker on the bottom. But if you put the sticker on the inside, so then people would be makbid. They would never cook their food. Maybe they would cook their food with the sticker on the bottom, unless they would be afraid that it would be a fire hazard. But in general, a sticker on the bottom was not going to be a problem. But the sticker on the inside, no one's going to eat and cook their food with a sticker on the inside. So that would be a problem. If you didn't take off the sticker on the inside, then you would have to go back and do Tfilas Kalim again. Vim Shiv Shay Finasim Gachol Vinishra Daimach Khalada Shalikula Avra Dekach Hamir Shane Makdalov Aina Chotzeis. But if you did your best to remove the chatzitza, in this case it was talking about rust, and you rubbed it, you put it on coals, and then in such case it's not a chatzitza. This is a very, very important maramakom in terms of people who are trying to get out of chatzitza but can't get out of chatzitza. This comes up with a woman going to mikvah, but it even comes up with netilas yadayim. Let's say you have a little bit of ink on your hand. So you do your best to get out the ink on your hand, and then it would seem to me, based on this sif in Shulchan Aruch, once you did your best, so then in such a case it's a miut shein, a makbid, and it would not qualify as a chatzitza. Okay, we'll stop here, Rabosai, and in Mirtza Hashem, next time we'll wrap up. It'll probably be a shorter shiur on Thursday. We'll wrap up with Seifim Yudalid through Tazayin, and then we're going to go on to Bishul Akum.